passe un bon artiste, super, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagosen. Sagosen setter det hen! Han setter den! De I semifinale igjen!
The preliminary round is over. Denmark are out. France are out. But Alex Kulesh is in.
And that's all we wanted, right? Especially those thousands of Danish fans that were in that arena this evening.
Oh my God. We just came from Malmo Arena. Brian and I just got in from Trondheim. And after watching the success of Norway for the last week, we've just seen the quasi-home side crash out before they even played their last game.
Where do you start? When we came into the two games today, there were a lot of different possibilities. And if you were to hit pause at halftime of that Iceland-Hungary game, I think we were heading in a very different direction. And then all of a sudden we have Hungary come out and play one of the best second halves I think we've seen of the whole tournament. They looked like they fell asleep in the later part of the first half, and then just were on such a roll in the second half. It was absolutely incredible.
Was it the famous Iceland bottle job that came a little bit late? Or I think Hungary really just played out of their socks today.
I just don't understand Hungary, how it happens. Like, looking at the team, Kevin DeMatt tweeted about knowing barely four players in the team. There's no superstars there. They had, well, no superstars on the court. There's one in goal, and that is Roland Mikler, and he played a huge part. But their biggest player, Mate Lekoi, being injured before the tournament, was probably the heaviest blow any team suffered in the build-up to this tournament. And this is a tournament with so many teams lacking players. But somehow, they've just put together this system that works. It's so impressive. And as you said, they had a terrible first half. Went 3-0 up right at the beginning, were flying. Then Iceland went at a 12-6 run to take a 3-goal lead into the halftime break. And then 15-6 to Hungary in the second half is absolutely nuts. And I've never experienced an atmosphere like I experienced in that arena since Denmark lost the final of EHF Euro 2014 at home to France when they were absolutely destroyed in the first half there. Just pure shock and silence. But unlike in that occasion where they were beaten from the beginning, there was so much hope for Denmark in that first half.
And you mentioned Hungary's tactic, and I think that tactic was something that I kept shouting, give it to Banhidi. The man was a foot taller than every Icelandic player on the pitch, and he really put his body around. He had an incredible game, like 9 goals from 11 shots.
That's impressive.
And we got a reaction from him after the game, so let's hear some words from him.
So what an incredible second half. What on earth was said in the dressing room at halftime?
Just believe, because they said, hey guys, go, we have 30 minutes, and believe in our job, believe in our system, because we were in the game, we had 3 goal minus, but we believed in this game, and we did it.
Was there any particular tactical changes? Because Iceland, for the most of the first half, had a very good first half. You went 3-0 up, they then turned it around. Were there any particular changes in the approach in the second half?
I think we played more patient, and we played more cover in attack, and our defense was more strong and more close.
I think Roland Mikler in between the sticks was a turning point in the second half. Talk a little bit about his performance.
Roland is incredible what he's doing in the European Champions, because he, not just today, before yesterday and the first game, he was also very good, and he helped a lot for us.
You really seem to be enjoying the fact that you were playing not only against Iceland but against the entire arena as well. A very unusual situation for both teams, having a whole arena full of Danish fans supporting a team that isn't even theirs.
Yeah, it was a really tough game, and also it was really difficult to play because the whole arena didn't support us. They were with Iceland, and but we have to think about just the team, just our system, and just ourselves.
And if we think back to before the tournament even started, a lot of people were saying about this Hungarian team that you're here kind of to collect a lot of experience because you have a lot of young players and you're building for the next Euro. If I'd said to you before the tournament that you're going to be top of the group, would you have believed me?
No. No chance. We really, we arrived here just enjoy the handball and build our team for the future. And really, when we came here, I didn't believe we can pass the group. But we believe in our game. We believe in our system. But finally, we passed the group with 2 points. It's amazing.
Well, they didn't expect it, and I don't think many people did. Least of all, Denmark. Coming into this championship, 7 of our 10 experts we asked predicted them to win. Every single expert predicted them to be in the final. And, well, if Ben Sabanhidi himself couldn't expect it, then what chance did any of us have? But Brian, you said to me when we were watching the end of the Hungary-Denmark game a couple of days ago, we were kind of laughing all the way through because Hungary somehow were leading this game. But then right at the end, you were like, huh, I don't think I want Denmark to be eliminated from this tournament. And now they have.
Yeah, I mean, losing a quasi-host, because, I mean, they're so close to Malmo. It is like almost, I mean, it's the tournament of host nations, really, isn't it? Like, and Denmark were kind of the next in line after the three host nations of being the closest to Malmo. And yeah, I mean... There's two sides to this coin. On one side, you lose the Danish fans and the Danish team, which everyone had as their favourites coming in. Unbelievable players, I mean, in every position. But then on the flip side, you have this amazing story with Hungary, who came here with no expectations, and they'd said that themselves. I mean, he said that if you said to them before the tournament, would they have finished? And he said absolutely no. So this was really a fresh start for Hungary in this tournament, building for the next Euro, Hungary-Slovakia. And now they've done this. So it's an incredible story. And there must be something to do with not carrying that weight of expectation. And they had absolutely no expectation on their shoulders. And look what they've just done. They topped the group. It's absolutely incredible.
And maybe that was the issue with Denmark. Maybe they had a bit too much expectation on their shoulders this time. You know, they came out of a tournament where they played as close to perfect handball as we've seen in a long while. And maybe being a quasi-home nation and having that expectation kind of was a bit too heavy on the shoulders, or was it complacency?
I always get nervous when things look a little bit to be going too smoothly for a lot of nations when they're in the run-up to these tournaments. I think you need to lose a few games almost or have a few hiccups. And there was nothing really for the Danish team.
We watched that Golden League final between France and Denmark. And it was such beautiful handball being played. It looked so good. And I guess we were all fooled. I don't know. Maybe you can play all the beautiful handball you want in these test matches in front of, what, 17,000 people or 15,000 people in Paris? Yeah. And both teams now, well, they can play a few more friendly matches if they want to. Like, they've got the rest of the month off now. Where do you lay the fault here? Like, something has gone wrong. There's some kind of glitch.
Maybe we'll ask some of the Danish fans that we saw outside the arena. Absolutely quite depressed, I would say.
Yeah. The biggest losers from this Iceland-Hungary game were the Danes. The Danish players weren't there to explain themselves. They had to get ready to play probably the least enjoyable handball match of their lives. So, yeah, we went out onto the beer stands and asked a few fans for their opinion.
I think all the Danes was like, what the fuck is happened? So that's why we didn't cheer up. Some of the experts in Denmark said, why are the Danes, why are they not helping and cheering out for the Danes players? And I think it's because that we were in shock. And
yeah. You become too spoiled. You're used to winning.
Yeah.
Did any of you see the Iceland game before?
Yeah, we saw that one. It was a good game. Iceland were good, but we were, as you said, used to winning, so it was a bit of a shocker as well. It's almost at home, so expect to win, but Iceland played a good game. Yeah, shit happens.
For the most part, it's an incredibly talented squad. There's some injury worries on the wings, of course, but you know, when you've got a backcourt like you have, is that an excuse, do you think?
No, I don't think it's an excuse. In the same game, I think the coach was too slow to take a timeout and get some adjustments for the offensive defense for Hungary, but I don't think it's an excuse. We're missing a left wing or right wing or whatever. we got a talented squad. We got some of the world's best players, best player in Bundesliga and the best player in the world. So I don't think that is an excuse. It's just poor coachman, poor adjustment, poor play.
Would you sack him?
No.
I mean, give him one more year.
Just one more year.
But, I mean, do you think it says more about the overall strength of the championship? Because, I mean, it's been an expanded championship to 24 teams. In some ways, that should have been easier. But at the same time, you know, you lose your first game, just like we saw in France. We were in Trondheim. You lose your first game and you're in immediate danger.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right, because I think it's in the World Cup, you say it's easier to come to the middle round than in the European Cup. So I think that's, it's not an excuse that it's harder in the European Cup. But for example, for France, if you lose one game for Portugal, then you're out. It's the same with us. We can win this one with 15 or 20, but because we fucked up in the two first games, then we're out.
Everybody over at the Handball Hour would like to apologize for some of the Danish words those fans threw in there. I didn't understand them, but we left them in for sake of authenticity.
Yeah, we're not going to censor out any Danish words. So
I think nobody has an answer. That's the thing, really. Like,
yeah, it seems nobody has an answer. Even Rasmus Boysen after the second game was lost for words. So if he can't explain what happened, then nobody will.
I think someone needs to check on Rasmus Boysen. Somebody needs to check that he's okay. If they had lost that game against Russia as well, then we'd probably need to set someone outside his door.
Yeah, well, the good news for him is that his adopted nation, Norway, are doing perfectly fine, so he'll have somebody to, some pals to support there.
And we've a real treat today with an absolute EHF Euro legend on the show today, Laszlo Nagy. We caught up with him the day after Hungary's, I suppose you'd call it, historic victories. He's a man who's been around the EHF Euro block many times before, so he has a lot of insight to give.
And he's part of this Hungary coaching side, which seemed to have revolutionized the squad. We were just talking there about how we don't really understand what's happening, but they have put together this plan. They've given these players the inspiration. So a lot of credit has to go to István Gulyás, the head coach, and his assistants Laszlo and Chema Rodriguez. So maybe he'll give us an insight to the magic formula.
We spoke to Bence after the game yesterday, and the last question was if he was asked before the tournament at the end of this group phase, would they be top of the group when he were unbeaten and knocked out Denmark? He said, no way.
Of course, Denmark was one of the favorites for that tournament, of course, and for our group also. It's clear. What we ask from the player, it's believe hard and fight until the end. All the matches, I think, they did. We did together, and we gave a surprise in our group.
Is that something you were saying at halftime to the guys? I mean, did you see in this team that this is a team that could go on a 15-6 run in the second half?
You mean against Iceland? It was a really good first half also. We had missed two penalties. One clear situation of Banhidi and one long ball missed. You've seen three down. Okay, so we didn't expect another things that keep working and do what we spoke about that game before match. We did again in halftime, and I saw the faces that yes, the guys believing and try to do their best. Finally they did. We had some lucky balls, of course, in defense. It was really compact, our defense, and what we expect of Iceland, run. We could stop them. It was one of the key for yesterday.
Before we talk about more about the team, we'll go back to the coaching staff, and I think it's very interesting, the team of yourself and István as the head coach, and also Chema, and it's quite a star-studded coaching staff, not so long together, and I believe you had a big part to play in putting it together at the beginning.
Yeah, we are thinking for a long period. Of course, our goal would be 2022 European Championship, Hungary with Slovakia. Just because of that, we start like this, you know. We have really, really good connection between István, Chema and me. I think the guys now more and more believing us, you know. and we have good communication during the match. We did a small meeting when we can, and yeah, this is the best that we can give right now for the team.
And was it you who brought Chema in?
Yeah, of course. It was some years ago. Just I start to think in my mind that if one time I would be coach, national team coach or club coach, I have to do stuff, no? And it was really clear in my head that Chema would be my man, no? So I'm really satisfied that he accepted that challenge with the Hungarian national team. And it was my idea.
Yeah, because you're quite vocal on the bench, both of you, aren't you? You do have a very vocal role during the game. This was the first game I've seen of you at the Euro, because we were in Trondheim before this. But you were up on your feet and you're giving a lot of orders.
Yeah, just because maybe I'm speaking stronger or louder, you know, that's why. But of course, that kind of instruction, it's more or less for defense, you know, maybe do the good changes, everything. But my job is much more for defense. Chema, it's for more attack, you know, and Istvan, it's a bit for everything.
Yeah, because it looked a bit like a tag team. You were up and he was down, and he was up and you were down.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many coaching staffs that look like that. You all seem to have a very active role on the bench there. And is it something you agreed on before, or has it naturally happened that, you know, you just happened to be up, you know, helping with the substitutions and defense, and then, you know, Istvan as the head coach doesn't seem to be too bothered with you and Chema having a very active role during the game?
That's why we want the best for the team. That this is clear in between us. That if it's timeout, only one guy speaking, you know, then or is Istvan or is Chema, and I'm around, you know, giving some small detail for the some players, maybe just for remember what to do, especially in the defense, you know. And if I see some situation that can work in attack, then it's small details.
And talk to us about then some of the new players who've come into the team, because I think for a lot of players outside of, or a lot of people interested in handball outside of Hungary, they wouldn't know a lot of these names, and I think they will after this Euro for sure. Talk to us someone about the players who've become central figures in this Hungarian setup.
Yeah, we were joking also in stuff that of course, how a rivals team can do video, everything, because all, more or less the half team, they didn't know or didn't see playing, you know. So really, it was my first that all of the Hungarian coaches said, yeah, they are not so much young talents to work, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course, because of circumstances, that we got some injury players. There is four key players missing because of injury. It's Lekai, Anchi, Juhas and Bodo, then we should use them. But it was the first thing that we would to get them. It's get self-confidence, you know, and try to do what they can do, what they are doing in their clubs, you know, do the same handball with national team. So I think they show that they have power, they have heart, and they have quality.
With so many players out, you mentioned Lekai there and Bodo, two huge players in the backcourt for the team. Was it a case then of choosing quite literally the next best players you could get in? Or, because you seem like when you're talking about the coaching staff that you're thinking so far in the future, when you're a player thinking about who you'd get, is it a case then of choosing the best players for now, or trying to create something more long term?
We saw that we checked our average of age, it's under 25. So if you see, you're thinking maybe for the next 5, 7, 8 short 10 years, it would be, for me, it would be the same team, of course, with them coming back good players as Lekai or Bodo or Anching, for example. So, yeah.
You've been part of Euros before yourself, and you've come with teams who have had a lot of expectation with them. Was this extra satisfying for you yesterday? That was a team with no expectation and have done so well, topping the group.
Without expectation, still just believe in our work, do what we are asking them. Every practices, every match, you know, like this, I'm really satisfied. Without result, doesn't matter. We can lose, we can win. This is secondary for me. Just do what we are asking them.
And you think that's why they did so well, because they were so free and they don't have this expectation and they can just play freely, and there's no, like as you said, just do what you do with your club, and there's just go out and play handball?
Yeah, probably. Without pressure, you know, without expectation, just play free. Maybe for the next tournament it will be harder, no? But still, we are in May run, we are really happy, but without pressure, still playing and finish like this. This is our goal, what we should do.
Has the atmosphere changed in the team at all now in the last few days? Like, confidence grown?
Of course. We feel it. Then when you are winning, you are growing, you know, and the self-confidence, it's higher and higher. This is the best what we could do with the guys. And that's why I'm really happy, because of them.
And the main round itself is so open. I mean, there's teams there who nobody expected to be in their teams, not there, such as Denmark and France, who people were expecting to be going in with 2 points even. Does that change it at all, the approach? You know, you're looking at the six teams here. It looks like everyone could beat anyone on a good day. It doesn't add any pressure to you guys, though.
No, still playing with pressure. As I told you before, we have to manage our goals. We have to know what we are doing, why we are doing that. And yes, this is really good, because like this, we have four extra matches to play and growing. Thinking on the future, this is the most important.
And so what are people saying in Hungary now at the moment?
I'm not the guy who is looking for newspaper and listening radio and news, you know, but of course I got a lot of messages because of friends and handball experts, you know, so maybe more than when I was active player. So yeah, that's why I'm happy, you know, but it's not good when you are, not always good when you are looking that, oh, you are the best, you are the best, you know. I don't like this. Just be focusing ourselves. What we did, it's really great, really nice, but you have to use it for the next steps.
It's your first major championship as a part of the coaching staff, and every player we speak to in their first couple of years after their career, it's a completely different experience. How is the personal experience for you as a coach?
I feel good. I'm really good, without almost no missing handball as a player, you know, but I'm really lucky to be a part of that national team and still keep working with handball in the federation, and of course in Veszprém also. So yeah, that's why I'm really busy, I can tell you, because of handball. And like this I have no time to think to miss handball.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Laszlo. Really interesting insight. And Hungary will be getting ready to play their probably surprise top of the table clash in group two of the main round on Friday against probably the only non-surprise team, Norway, in a real test for them. But hey, I think they're growing better and better each game.
Yeah.
So before we preview that group, I think it's worth looking at the first main round group, which we all thought was going to be the easier half of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
But look what happened on the other side. Who has impressed you the most in that first half of the draw, Chris?
I still think it is the easier half of the draw overall. This side with Croatia, Spain, Austria, Germany, Czech Republic and Belarus. I mean, if you look at the performances of some teams there, and it's always so difficult to compare the levels of the groups, but I still think that the teams coming from Trondheim in Norway's group, with Portugal as well, and the teams from Sweden are still a slightly higher level. But you did ask me about the teams that impressed me most, and the clear leader in my mind is Spain. Can't look past Spain at the moment. They, for me, are the outstanding team of this side of the draw. Croatia have looked...
Hold on a second there, wait. So Spain have played against a very weakened German side, Latvia and the Netherlands, two teams which may not have been here.
Yeah.
If you look back at the older system. So I agree with you. They have been very impressive, but they haven't really been tested yet. We saw how bad Germany looked in their games as well. But
do you think Spain was it not a case of Spain making them look bad?
Latvia made them look bad as well.
Well, that might have been an after effect of the Spain game.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that's the question, isn't it? We're going to know, though, pretty soon, when they have their first game against the Czech Republic, you know, and the Czech Republic are a team which they really should beat, you know. So their route to the semi-finals, it looks fairly straightforward, if you're going to look at it in terms of the favourite role.
Yeah.
They're playing the Czech Republic first, then they play Austria at home, which won't be easy. But again, on paper, they should beat Austria. Then they play against Belarus. Tricky outfit. One of your favourites, Chris?
One of my sneaky favourites for the semi-finals. But there's also Croatia in there in the last game. But it's a nice route for Spain. As you said, the team seem to be getting tougher as the group progresses. And by the time they face Croatia, they could already have enough points to book their spot in the semi-finals. Mm-hmm. So I think they're looking really, really good. The handball they play is beautiful. They have found so many solutions in attack. They don't have the best attacking players. They have incredibly fast wing players, that's for sure. But the backcourt isn't necessarily the best and the most striking. But they're so confident in their handball. They know each other inside out. They move the ball with such ease. Two of the best goalkeepers together in the world at the moment, who we spoke to in the last podcast. And I think they're looking really, really good. So for me, they are the outstanding team in Vienna.
Well, they've also shot 70% shot conversion rate across the three games, which is incredible. 7-8% higher than the next best team.
That's a lot.
And they have the two best goalkeepers, the best goalkeeping pair in a tournament that we've talked about. So I think that combination is pretty dramatic. Mm-hmm. And if they can keep that consistency up, I don't see exactly what can stop them.
Do you have a favourite, Brian? That is not Spain?
So Croatia? I think it's very difficult to look past Spain and Croatia. Spain would be my favourites, even though I was playing devil's advocate there earlier on with your prediction of Spain going through. But I think Spain and Croatia, I think it's a little bit too early for a team like Belarus to upset Croatia. So I'd fancy Croatia to get to the semi-finals. Maybe not further, but... to make the semi-final.
So no chance for Germany?
I was just about to say that. Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. You're in the swing of things now, Alex. That's good. can Germany have a reaction to their bad performances? I think it's very difficult to have a reaction when it looks like you're lacking confidence in all these different positions on the court. It's not down to really playing badly. It's more down to they don't look comfortable on the court. That's a very different thing to have. How do you react to that? How do you pick a team up like that? I know they brought a chef along with them.
So maybe a few extra desserts. Raise the spirits.
They brought a chef along with them for whatever reason. They're the only team to do so, but maybe they should have brought along a few more sports psychologists.
Our food in the Scandic was top diddly notch, so I don't think they needed a chef. Yeah, a few more sports psychologists maybe. They have enough to beat the teams in the other groups here. Maybe except Croatia.
But the thing is also for Germany, they already have their loss against Spain. Mm-hmm. So let's assume if all things go to as we plan, every team is going to lose to Spain. Obviously, we know this tournament hasn't been like that.
Yeah.
But Germany already have that loss to Spain. And they have so they're playing Belarus and Croatia first. So that's make or break straight away.
Well, the Belarus game is very, very interesting because they're playing against a team there now who are young and full of confidence. And they're coming in. There are these people who should be full of confidence because they come from the best league in the world. And they're lacking that confidence. So that's a really intriguing matchup there. And it really is make or break from the get-go.
Based on what I've seen from Germany, I would go for Belarus in that first game already to ruin them. But what about Austria? Are we giving the host any shot here? Nikola Bilic? Gerald Seiner.
They've been so good.
Yeah, but they've been so good in arguably the worst group. Yeah, they did tear North Macedonia apart. That was impressive. That was very impressive. The other two victories, they clawed out a victory, but not the most impressive performances.
Mm. I think when are Austria playing Belarus, I would be very interested to see that.
Final game.
Can we see that being a game for the semi-final between two hungry young teams, or is it just too much for them? Are we going safe with Croatia? It's a new decade. Croatia are not going to throw away their big chances in big tournaments.
I tell you what, if Austria do get to the semi-finals, then Thomas Bauer is going to be on for a special extended 3-hour episode before the semi-final. Yeah. It'll be fantastic to talk to him. It is wide open, and it's so hard. We were proven wrong so many times in the Women's World Championship by the combination of groups. When groups come together, it's really tricky to know, and it's an added facet to it this time is that three groups are coming together and only one previous result counts, so it is wide open, four matches to decide in that group. But if I were to go right now, if we're playing predictions right now, I'm going to go with Spain and Belarus.
You've lost your mind. Anyway, Alex.
I like Croatia. I actually do really like them in this tournament, because all it takes is for one of their two main guys, Karacic and Sindrić, to take over a game. Each one of them can absolutely run a game on his own. And all they need is one of them.
And they should do it. I agree. It should be Spain and Croatia, but I think it's going to be Spain and Belarus.
I think they've been disappointed so many times already, but I think this time Croatia can put that disappointment behind them. So I go for Spain and Croatia.
But to kind of mix that prediction up, I'll say that Croatia are going to top the group and beat Spain.
Oh, all right. That's the final game. So let's go from group one to group two. This is wide open as well. Now, looking at this, we have Norway top of the group on 2 points. Hungary also top of the group on 2 points. And also top of the group on 2 points is Slovenia. That was a stupid way to introduce it, but I'll keep going. And bottom of the group on 0 points is Sweden. Also bottom of the group on 0 points is Portugal. But also bottom of the group on 0 points is Iceland. Now, three teams on 2 points, three teams on 0 points. I'm going to ask Brian now, because we've seen a lot of, I think a lot more of the teams in these groups. Who has impressed you most, Brian?
I think Portugal have been one of the stories of the tournament. You know, they have, I wouldn't say overperformed. I mean, I think it's been a long time coming, but they've performed now on the biggest stage. Will they keep doing that? I'm not sure. I think when you achieve these milestones on the biggest stage, I think it's almost, I'm not going to say it's a job done for them, but I would love to see them get a few more results. But they've done so much already that I think they've been one of my favorite stories of the tournament so far. But most impressive, I mean, have to be the team that I've seen live anyway, Norway. Can Norway keep playing like that a whole tournament? That's the big question for me. They play so fast, rely so much on Sander Sagason as the creator to do so many things for them. Is it something you can do every single match all the way through the tournament? I'm not sure. When I look at Spain, I look at a team that maybe that's a system that you can keep up. You have a few players who play bad, but then you have other players you can bring in, and then you can keep doing that the whole tournament. Norway, it can be a bit hit or miss with, is Sagason going to be on his game? If he's not, who else will step up?
But I think Norway's backup players, Rull, Reinkind, and especially Johannesson, I think are just a step better than they have been in the last two World Championships where that was the case. Where when Sagason didn't play, there's no one there to take that step. I think the other three have shown that they can fill the void, and especially when teams go out on Sagason, because he demands so much attention. He takes so much attention, and it gives a lot more space to these players. And I think they've learned how to take that space a little bit better.
I mean, Jondal is the perfect example of a player who benefits from a lot of the hard work that Sagason does. I mean, he puts his body on the line. He's very like Karabatic in that respect, that he will sacrifice his body for a pass. And not a lot of backup players would do that. Someone like Mikkel Hansen, for example, isn't known for sacrificing his body, but he does a lot of different things.
I believe a lot more in the rest of the Norwegian backcourt now. At the beginning of the championship, I wasn't full of hope for them, but after seeing the way they dealt with Portugal, for large parts without Sander Sagason in the second half as well, they managed it quite well. And looking at the other teams in this group, the backcourts are quite comparable. I think that the players they have available to them will be enough to get through to the semi-final here. And that's not something I believed really until, for some reason, arriving in Norway. And I was like, oh yeah, Sander Sagason, he is like another 10%. because originally my pick would have been Sweden to go through to the semi-final along with Denmark. The Swedish team hasn't impressed at all.
Yeah, no, what's been up with Sweden?
Well, they've been missing a right back. That's the problem. They really have. I mean, Albin Lagergren was the first choice, and he was the only right back in the squad, and he played a little bit in the first match and then was dropped out of the squad for the second game, which they lost to Slovenia. So they only had 15 players. And then for the third game, they only had 15 players again because Jesper Nielsen was sick. They've stumbled a lot. I think Sweden will improve, though, as the tournament goes on. But will it be enough to... that's a really interesting game for me, is the second round of games from this group, Norway against Sweden. I think that will show a lot. And it will be more of a Sweden home main round now than it probably was going to be.
Well, as long as all those Danish fans sell their tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
To
who knows?
The Swedish fans. Yeah. But
it's a big question for those Danish fans. Who are they going to support, Sweden or Norway? But yeah, I think Norway have been the most impressive so far from this group. If I were to pick a second team, I'm going to ask Brian for his opinion here on Slovenia. That would be my second best team.
That was going to be my next talking point there, was that a team now that Norway are going to have to play, and it's one of the most intriguing matchups in this next round of matches, is Norway's last game against Slovenia. I mean, I kind of wish it was a little bit earlier somehow. Then they didn't want it to be the last main round game. Well, it could depending on what happens, it could be very interesting. But I'd love to see it first, almost. Norway versus Slovenia, the two of the fastest teams in the tournament, coming to head-to-head. Similar-ish styles in terms of how they work. And that's really intriguing. And I think they've been very impressive. And I think Lubo, even though he's only had a very short time with them, seems to have got his style of play to work with them. And I mean, we said it before in the preview podcast that there's no better man to coach Slovenia maybe than a man who's as small as all the Slovenian players.
Looking at these six teams, and this is what I'm really looking forward to being in Malmo for the entirety of this main round, is that unlike in Vienna, where you have two teams who should win all of the games and should perform in all of the games, Spain and Croatia, in this group, you look at all of these teams and you're like, okay, every one of these teams is capable of producing a performance to beat any of the others. And at the same time, you wouldn't back any of them to win all of these four matches. So I think there's going to be a lot of points exchanged between these six teams. It could go down to the wire with, you know, four teams in the mix to get the top two spots in the final day.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams here looking at this and going, wow, we have a real opportunity here to do...
Every team, Portugal will be like, oh my God, no Denmark, no France. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, we beat one of them. The other one's not here. Sweden at home, they'll be like, yeah, great opportunity here. Iceland, until the game against Hungary would have been, until halftime against Hungary, we're like, this is a perfect tournament for us so far. Norway, it is the perfect tournament for them so far. Slovenia, they're finally winning matches at the Euro. Hungary have finally got through the preliminary round of the Euro. And now, yeah, it's a golden opportunity for all of them.
And I think you mentioned Vranjes, and he's a real master tactician. He really showed that against Sweden. And I think what's going to be interesting is how he sets up to play against Sagason. And I think if Norway can survive that, they'll go on to win the competition. And if they don't survive it, they have a chance of avoiding Slovenia again. But I think Slovenia have something in them to beat Norway in this group.
So Alex, are you saying it's going to be Slovenia and Norway through to the semi-final?
I am saying exactly that.
Brian, what are you saying?
I want to disagree, but they're actually my choices as well. Yeah.
Oh! So again, I mean, sold down the river here in both groups. Going, I will say Norway and...
Such yeah. Anticipation.
So dramatic.
Oh my God, leave this in.
I'm shaking.
Oh. No, Iceland are going to beat Slovenia in the first game. It's going to be Norway and Sweden to go through.
God, it's really difficult.
It's so difficult. Yeah,
this group is a real...
Because if you said before the tournament, like, this is what the group would be, you'd be like, what are you talking about? Do you know, I mean, Hungary...
Are you alive?
Hungary on 2 points. Are you joking me? Slovenia would, of course, have only had a few weeks. They've no time to build up anything. And here they are. 2 points, Hungary 2 points, Norway 2 points.
That's a really key point that you mentioned, that it's only 2 points that's carried over to the main round. It is, there's four games, everything can flip completely. I don't think those points are as important as previously. I think, you know, Hungary's 2 points aren't going to do much for them.
It could all be wiped out by the time the next podcast is out. That's it. Only takes one game for those 2 points to be wiped out. So I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, I have one more question for both of you now. Yeah. If you have to pick one player that up until this point has been your MVP. So if let's just say it was like an ongoing vote, let's say, to this point, who's been the player of the tournament in your opinion?
Sander Sagason.
Yeah, it's very obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, can we do the one apart from Sagason?
Who's your second best player of the tournament?
Who's the second best player of the tournament?
The Sander Sagason Appreciation Trophy.
Go,
<that's>
Go on then, Brian, answer your own question first then.
So who would be the second in line behind Sander Sagason?
If it weren't for the group that he came from, I would hand it to Nikola Bilic.
I was thinking that as well.
As it's the Sander Sagason Appreciation Award, I'll give it to Austria's Sander Sagason, Nikola Bilic.
Okay. And what about you, Alex?
Oh, I'm gonna go full line player love. And for the real hero of this Hungary team, Banhidi, is my second MVP.
Okay, I'd probably go for, I'm not going to say it's a hipster pick. It's not a hipster pick. And I know Chris is a big fan of his. But I'll go for Kai Schmitz.
Hey!
He's a guy who, made their debut. He really stepped up. Scored, I think, probably an average of 6-7 goals a game. And has really impressed. So I think he's kind of the I think a good recipient of the Sander Sagason Appreciation.
Congratulations to all winners, all three winners.
who has been the biggest disappointment?
My favorite disappointment, Dika Mem. He's my favorite disappointment. Fair. I really wish for him to just step up in a tournament like this where France just needs a hero to grab them through. Dika Mem, just do it.
And I said it to you, Brian, during that game against Norway, they needed to take Dika Mem off and they needed to bring Valentin Port on.
And they didn't.
They didn't. Valentin Port was a man who, how many times he has to do it for club and country to be trusted? I mean, he absolutely tore up that last game. He won the Champions League for Montpellier a couple of seasons ago. He is so brave. He is so smart. He is so creative. Just give
he's
the guy
really
a chance.
As well.
He shakes hands with Vincent Gerard after goals. I mean, he's so polite. That was a travesty.
That was bizarre.
That was a travesty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have too many left-handers in that team. And they left probably the most trustworthy of them they left behind. Yeah. Yours?
I think probably Russia as a collective. I think when you look back at where they've a massive history of performing at the EHF Euros, and I think they've been really disappointing in the run-up. It was, I thought maybe before the tournament that was their poker face.
Okay.
But it wasn't. They really looked poor, I think, throughout the tournament. And I don't know what's going on there because they still have quality. They still have a decent squad with some decent players. But they really, I think, disappointed. And I think they'd be very disappointed with their performance over the three games.
Right. On that somber note, I think it's time to say goodbye. We'll try and pick it up in 2 days' time. But from all of us, it's goodbye for now.
So as they say in Danish, Alex,
vi ses.